Today's podcast is brought to you by the Herzog Foundation. What are the most important responsibilities of moms and dads? Well, today we're discussing foundational truths related to building strong families and solid marriages. Our special guest is Pastor Sharon Ward from Insight Church, and she has some great advice to share. Stay with us. This is the Moms for America podcast. Each week, leaders and everyday champions tell personal stories, share advice, and tackle the issues most important to moms. Hi, moms. I'm Debbie Kurlitis, your host, and welcome to the Moms for America podcast. So glad that you mamas are joining us again this week. Love it, love it, love it. Every episode, right, we get together to inspire, encourage, and educate moms in their journey through motherhood. Well, today's program, we have a great guest who I absolutely love, Pastor Sharon Ward. She co-pastors Insight Church near Chicago with her husband, James. She revels in her role as a homemaker and a mother of two, but she's also a leader, a teacher, a prayer warrior, and an entrepreneur, and she is bringing her wisdom and encouragement to us today. All right, all right. I am so delighted to have you, Pastor Sharon, on the Moms for America podcast. We became fast friends recently, and I'm just so glad to have you joining us.
Thank you. It's an honor to be here. I'm excited.
We got so much to talk about because we're like, we're just like-minded and you're just perfect for our audience because you bring so much hope and joy and just great words of knowledge from all that you've done and God's called you to do. Let's talk a little bit about your tribe, your family, your husband, your kids. We like to get to know everybody a little bit.
Yes. Well, I have a wonderful husband. He's the Lord of my life on this earth. Pastor James Ward. He's just been it's been a privilege to even be married to him 25 years. He's a godly man, a kind man behind closed doors. He Amen. Lives surrendered to the Lord. He wakes up every morning. I'll give a little of his private business. He wakes up every morning, leaves our bedroom and goes to lay before the Lord to surrender his life to the Lord every single day. So it's a joy, and that's sort of the foundation and framework of how we build our family and our marriage.
Sure. And the kids, got a couple kids.
We have a couple kids. We have two children.
I met them. Yeah.
Yes. Daughter who's 22, Hannah. She's graduated from college, getting her MDiv. We're called to ministry really as a family. That's sort of the wonderful thing that God has done in our life. She's getting her MDiv, and Jonathan is in his senior year of college. And he's going to be also going into ministry, and they both are engaged to two of the best people on the planet, Lavelle Jr. for Hannah. And then Abigail is engaged to Jonathan, getting married in January.
Yeah. So exciting.
We have so much going on.
You do, let alone the travel, the ministry, the church, all these things. And this is why I wanted you to talk a little bit about the age group of your children.
Okay.
And, you know, your husband being in the ministry and your pastors at a church. And then, you know, just raising Gen Z, this next generation. And all glory to God that our kids are in the church and they're serving him and they love God, love family, love country. So before we kind of get into what you've done with your family, because everything's trial and error, right? Nobody gave us a manual except the Bible on how to do this thing called life. And it's some of it you got to just figure out along the way with his direction and his guiding. But your background, you grew up in a very solid Christian home, right?
Yes, I did. Both of my parents immigrated from Belize, Central America. So we have the whole I've gone through the immigration. I've gone through my parents going to get documented in the United States, going to get their citizenship. I remember as a child what that felt like. They came when they first got married to the United States, and they came totally sold out to Jesus, and that's the foundation of how they built their home. So they were not really raised in strong Christian homes. But they, when they gave their life to the Lord, they wanted something different for their kids. So they started on that journey really focusing on having a wonderful family and making that a goal.
Yeah. And that's continued you
Yes.
striving for that in your home, your marriage,
Yes.
and your ministry. So you tell me a little bit about the ministry that you and Pastor James have.
Yes. So we have several. We have three different ministries that really are full-time ministries for us by with God's grace. Inside Church is our church. We have two campuses, one in Tinley Park and one in Skokie, Illinois. And we have again one of the best congregations. And I say that
Yeah.
honestly, there's just a sweet spirit in our church and just a spirit of unity.
And I've been there, and I will tell you, when I went there that Sunday, we were kind of dragging, you
Yeah.
know, and we looked at each other, we're like, we won't be dragging here today. I mean, the joy of the Lord is overflowing. Even if you didn't want to be joyful, you were going to be
Yes,
blessed.
that's
So,
right.
amen. It was
Yes.
great.
Thank you. And then we also have TLN Media, which is a television station that airs in Chicago and San Francisco. We just recently built out a TLN Plus, which is our digital platform, so that we have really, we're just, our goal is to be global with TLN Media. So we're really excited about the platform growing very quickly. And then the last is James Ward Ministries. My husband is a speaker. He wrote a book, Zero Victim, which has really been a framework or a platform for really teaching zero victim to the nation. So he travels and does speaking engagements based around zero victim, and also, just also the family message that we have, and that we feel that God has called us to train up a new generation, a new America in family and marriage.
Well, amen.
Yeah.
Amen, amen, amen. Let's talk about some of these things now. The church, I guess that we'll start with the church. The church in America, in many ways, has failed, yet in many ways is trying to kind of recover because we've lost the message of Christ. And some of the tough things, you know, Jesus did offend people. We all know that.
Right.
And it's, you know, his love is free and salvation, but
Right.
you know, we've got to talk about the tough things in this culture. And I think the church has kind of dropped the ball clearly on this because we're not talking about things from the pulpit that need to be talked about.
Right.
And I'd like to get your opinion on that and where you think the church was, and maybe where you think it's going. In
Well,
general, the church, yeah.
right. I think, since every society has its list of things that they argue about. But one thing that I think the church was built on were people that were serious about the church, serious about the church for which Christ died. And that's sort of a framework in which I've built even our family and our home, is we're built that the church is the only institution in America that Christ died for. So it has to be the most important institution. And because Christ shed his blood and he said he's coming back for his church, we have to treat the church a lot more sacred to me than America treats the church. And to me, that starts with individual homes. That one of the things that we have done is our home is the church in miniature. So whatever anointing or spirit we want to see in the church, whatever we want spoken in the church, we start that in our home. And why is that important? Because we first, to me, as families, as moms, as we're building, and we have crisis in the church, when you realize that the church is a sacred institution, I think America needs to do a lot less, maybe, going after things that divide us instead of things that unify us. One thing that we did growing up, we taught our children, you can't talk about the pastor. You can't talk about the church. Our job is to pray for God to make changes in the church. But just having a culture of just everything the church is doing wrong, talking about the church, I don't really think that's helping our kids. And the byproduct of that is our kids don't want to be in church anymore. And a lot of times they get that from the home because the parents are nitpicking everything in the church. We know that pastors nowadays, it's one of the hardest jobs
Jobs,
to be a pastor. So we really probably take an opposite approach of most people, and we celebrate the church. If the church is missing it, then that's where we have to go to prayer more and
We
pray for
do,
the
right.
church. But for me, I don't, if it's not something scriptural, that the church is not doing scripturally, I pray for the church because there's too much division and that's not helping our nation.
And I agree with you. It's we as the church have to be the light and the beacon of hope.
Yes.
And I think that's why some of the kids have dropped out of going to church. Even my generation, your generation, there was such a drop in church attendance. But now Gen Z, I have 20 year olds as well, like you do. There is a calling for truth. And
Right.
I'm praying that the church will share the truth
Right.
and not compromise truth
Yeah.
and pointed truth. Because I think that this next generation is looking for truth and they're
Right.
expecting it. So do you see that change with like your kids' generation and what's coming to your church that people want to know hope and truth?
We do, and we call our church the Ark of Safety. And so we really work hard in creating an environment where truth is being told, but also explain to our kids that you have to make it to heaven. You know, we see school shootings all the time. The most important thing is that you make it to heaven. And if all of this, really critiquing the church is getting in the way of you making it to heaven, but the Bible says there's always the truth is going to be taught through the ends of the earth, and then Jesus is going to come. So there's always a church that you could find somewhere teaching truth. And when you find that church, go to church, jump in with both feet,
This is
and make
it.
it your lifestyle. You know, back in the day when they were first building churches in the United States, they used to actually buy a pew. And a family would buy a pew and they'd put their name at the end of that pew. And what did that say? That said, this was my family's pew. It was understood that the whole family was going to be in church. Like you
I
could
love
not sit
that.
in their pew because my niece is coming, my auntie's coming,
You
my
got to get out
sister's
of my
coming,
pew,
because we are a
right?
family that goes to church. That is our lifestyle. And I think America really needs to get back. We need to get back to some of these foundations of
They
the
sure
church
do.
that sure they sometimes they argued, but they didn't leave church. As believers, as Christians, that's a non-negotiable. And I just think some of these old-fashioned ways in which America was founded, I think we need to get back to that. We almost need to buy pews because our family is staying in church. We're not
I
leaving
love that.
church.
I love that. And when I speak around the country too, a lot of I just we'll talk about the culture and the challenges and the attack on parental rights and all those things that are so important. At the end, I say to everyone, this is Debbie talking. Get your family in church. Pray together. Like
Yes.
get your home in order. That's
Right.
really the most important. And it doesn't mean that we're doing it perfect,
Yeah.
but it does mean that we're coming before the Father every day and saying, Jesus, if you don't, I don't know how people make it without the Lord.
Isn't that
I
the
mean,
truth?
goodness gracious,
Yeah.
So, your advice to moms as we talk about getting our kids back in church, and I love the thing that you're, being in church, all that, but what do you share with your moms, on a regular basis, on kind of encouraging and inspiring them in their walk with the Lord and raising their kids.
Right. I always teach the moms the word of God. I don't have an opinion. What does the word have to say? And in Jeremiah 31:29, this is a scripture that I've always loved. It says, "In the days there shall be no more that they say the fathers have eaten sour grapes and the children's teeth are set on edge." Let's live in a way and let's parent as a way that we don't live and set our children's teeth on edge. So if when we see chaos and confusion in the world, yes, we can blame it on there's no truth in the church and all these things. But the Bible says when the parents gossip and complain, when they're always critiquing, That's like eating sour grapes. And when you do that about the church that Jesus died for, they shed his blood for, when there's no reverence about just talking about any man of God that's really, really living for God, and the kids have grown up with no reverence, you set your kids' teeth on edge. And the Bible says, when the foundation is destroyed, what can the righteous do? So as what I teach moms, I teach them, set the foundation. The foundation is most important, because the goal is that your children live with you in eternity. This is about eternity. This is about seeing Jesus. And we can't do anything as parents, and we can't have any excuse where our church, when our kids don't make it to heaven to live with Jesus in eternity. That's most important. That is way more important than a lot of things that we debate about, that the news is reporting. The most important thing is that our children go to church. I mean, we're living in a day and age where our president cannot go to church service and just sit and listen to a message with his family anymore because of politics. So I just am encouraging the church that we have to get back to the authentic, what Christ died. And the church is the funnest and the most loving place on earth. And I just think just giving a different message. Sure, we have things that we need that, pastors teach that are not right. We all have things we need to work on because pastors are human. But the church is the most fabulous institution in America.
All right, we've got more with Pastor Sharon Ward on Building Our Families God's Way right after this break. Hi, moms. I'm excited to share some news about our new sponsor, the Herzog Foundation. We know you're passionate about raising patriots and empowering your children with the best education possible. And the Herzog Foundation shares that passion. They're dedicated to promoting liberty through education freedom and helping parents like you choose the best educational path. They offer a powerhouse of resources designed to support families and schools alike. Whether you're ready to dive in headfirst to the world of education or simply looking for more ways to empower your child's learning. From free training events to their must-read online publication, The Lion, they're committed to keeping you informed about what's happening in education. Also, if you've ever thought, moms, about starting your own Christian school or co-op, their School Box online course will give you everything you need to get started on the right foot. Again, we are so proud to partner with the Herzog Foundation, and we encourage you to explore all their amazing tools and the insights that they offer. So go ahead, visit herzogfoundation.com to learn more. You won't want to miss these incredible resources. Again, find it all out at herzogfoundation.com.
You know, I've never really felt comfortable sharing pictures of my kids on social media. Then I found Tubu, a premium social app with an actual authentic community. No bots, no one trolling me or my family, just clean, wholesome content you can trust.
All right, welcome back, mamas. Before we continue with our interview, I do want to remind everyone to please like, subscribe, and share this podcast. Go ahead, check out all of our other podcasts. We have an incredible library, by the way, at themomsforamerica.us. Tell your mama friends. This is another great podcast to inspire and encourage moms really in their journey with Jesus. So also, if you have a topic or an idea for our podcast, would you please email me at podcast@momsforamerica.net. I would love to hear from you. And lastly, I do this every week because we got new listeners every week. I want to invite all of you to be a part of the movement here at Moms for America. Come find your tribe, find your sisterhood. We are the ultimate support group for conservative moms. It's moms like us that are uniting all across this great country. We're fighting for faith, family, freedom, and the Constitution. So please check us out at momsforamerica.us. Sign up for our newsletter. You can also look at the other forms there, and someone from our team will get back with you. We're here to help support you, mamas. So please check us out again, momsforamerica.us. And now we're back to the podcast. You talked so much, so sweetly about your husband. And, I think that's kind of another thing that's maybe gotten lost a bit here in this culture is the roles of husband and wife. And I know you talk a lot about this.
Yes.
And, you know, men is the protector and the provider and the leader of the family. And then mom, you know, the wife is a helpmate and a caregiver and so important. Homemaker. I mean, a lot of these roles have been, you know, just kind of, I guess, redefined and made less important in society. But you talk about this so much. And what about these roles and how God has created them so divinely?
Yes. Well, I've always, again, I've looked up to people like Susanna Wesley, how she raised her kids and how she even dealt with a husband that was not always the greatest example in some of the things he did. But she raised her children to really be on fire for God and to love the things of the Lord above everything. And I also look at Sarah in the Bible when she said, you know, she reverenced her husband and worshiped him, actually calling him Lord. And I, it took, in the beginning, it took me a lot of, it like you grit your teeth. James is the Lord of my life on this earth. When you first start saying it, you're like, ugh.
Well, when you said that, I was like, okay, girl, come on.
Yes. But it's what the word says. And we're reverencing our husband. So that is what I've cultivated in my own life. And I've prayed into that so that I could say that, because you know, something really, if I went to England and I ran into the King of England or one of the princes,
right.
It would flow right out of my mouth. King so-and-so, Prince so-and-so. How much more my husband, who's, you know, sacrificing his entire life to love me and to provide for me and my family, I can treat him with a lot more honor than I can a stranger. And so that has helped me to cultivate and to really reverence him. One of the things that God worked on early in my marriage is my tone. Just even if I'm saying something true, or if I'm saying something even nice, I keep working on the tone in which I talk to my husband, because I want to honor him and reverence him. And a lot of times, just our tone or our, you know, it cuts and it really demoralizes. So I just want to be the biggest cheerleader for him.
I love that. I love that. I'm working on all that too over here, Sharon. You know, with my husband, I do. I really do want to be an encourager. And when God calls you to be a helpmate, you know, and I just, you know, they do such a good job in their role, but they so need us and we
they
so need
do.
Them. I mean, it's just the way it is. And, you know, we're married 30 years here too. So I'm working on my tone too as I go down this road. But thank you for that encouragement, because I think we kind of forget that we are the biggest cheerleader for each, a husband for the wife for the husband, and for our kids to see that. You know, as we're training them up and trying to be the example for when they find their mate.
Right. And this is where I put a lot of my energy into my home. Just creating the kind of home that Jesus can walk the halls of my home and you know, lay on the couch. I think of Jesus just laying on my couch, feeling at home. What kind of environment does he want to be in when he's in my home?
Boy, that is so great. I used to say that all the time, to not in the home like that, but I used to say with the kids, just remember when you're going somewhere, Jesus, right? You know, he's your co-pilot. You know, he's in the car with you. He's wherever you go, you know, and he's there to help protect, guide, and speak. And you know, he's loving you all the way. So yes, I'm going to think about that so much more, as Jesus as my, at my kitchen table as my guest, you
He's
know?
There when we're cooking. He's there when we're watching TV. You know,
sure
he hears everything, and just, I just love Jesus.
Amen. Tell us some other things that you've incorporated into your home, and maybe even just dealing with older children a little bit now and looking at marriage and, you know, kind of in the next phase of life. They're not little ones anymore, but they're still ours.
Right. It's hard. I have them both leaving at the same time. And
I cried so bad when my son got married. I just was a mess for months and months. Yeah, really, it was terrible. Really. And I'm not a crier, by the way.
Right.
But I just, I don't know if it was the firstborn, if it was the boy, I don't know what it was, but I was, and I love my daughter-in-law.
Yes.
I love my daughter-in-law. She loves the Lord. They're a great couple. But man, it was, I don't know. I was just literally a mess.
Right.
Literally.
It's so funny
And I was like,
because
get it together. My husband's like, get it together.
it's so funny because when you get married, you never think what's going to happen. You always think about what's when we have kids, when that we do this, when we build our home. It never came into play in my mind when the kids leave. So this is a new thought process for me, but I'm excited for my kids. They picked God's best for their life, and I'm asking the
That's
Lord to
good.
help me to let them go. One thing I did with our kids when they started to go through the puberty, middle school age, one time my son and I were talking about this the other day. One time he was like going back and forth with me, and I was like, I could spend your high school years fighting with you, but you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to turn you over to your dad. So there, as far as rearing them and really giving them advice, I do, but early on in middle school, I turn them over to their dad because I'm like, you know what? I'm not going to be yelling, spitting. I'm going to go get my nails done and my hair done. I'm going to keep looking cute. And your dad is going to have to raise you from here. So in that respect, I have not been a clingy mom, as far as really, being that helicopter mom in the sense that my kids can't leave. And I just pray God helps me. And I will not be crying like you pray when my son leaves, but it's God's plan for him, and it's God's plan for my
I think,
daughter.
yeah, and it's just so emotional. I mean, when my son went off to school too, when my daughter moved to Florida,
Right.
when your kids go to kindergarten, I mean, these are all, I don't know, they just, it's like, wow, Lord, like they're growing up, and you're just praying over them, and I don't know, it's like, it's just tough, I think, for moms just to let go. And but
Yes.
yet that's the circle of life, and that's how God absolutely intended it to
Right.
be. A lot of these young couples are not even, it's not your kids, my kids here, but even in society, the birth rate is down of families, unfortunately, having children.
Right.
And we need to really, I really, that's one of the things that Moms of America is restoring motherhood
Wow.
in the foundation of families and
Yeah.
marriage. And boy, it sounded like 1.3 kids per couple now. And I
Right.
just want to keep encouraging everyone. This is the best thing ever. Have as many kids
Yes.
as you can. I
Yes.
wish I had more.
Yes. And even, and I think this is again where the church is so important because we have to promote even marriage. And that one marriage is wonderful. Kids, people need to hear that. Young adults need to hear it. Marriage, people are having a wonderful time in marriage.
Thank you,
My
Lord.
husband and I, we are having the best time of our life being married to each other. And a lot of times kids, it's almost like we have become experts at talking about the negative, that the glass is half full of everything, instead of talking about how wonderful it is and the good in society and in our life. And we do that in our church. We talk up marriage. We can get married, even as we're dealing with as a black mom and I have black family. We talk to our black families. You could get married. We're not going to be the statistic that only 3 out of 10 women get married. We can get married and have great families. And then when you have great families and you're not scared that you might get divorced, you could think about having kids, 4, 5, 6 kids, because you're in a happy home. So, just again, I think the church is the foundation, and that's what Jesus left to be the foundation of how we build our life. My father used to say, when you get saved, you jump into church with both feet. And that means every time the doors open, you're at church. You're building your life around the church, And I think for what we need to change in society, we're going to have to take our families back to the church. That's the core of our life. And that's what we build our life around. So you
Is.
and I are changing that statistic.
We are. And, I think I love to tell everybody that we're married 30 years. I love that because some people are like, really, you made it 30 years? I'm like, yes. Hope we make it another 10, 20, 30, what as long as God has us on this earth. But I
Yes.
do that not to, for my own credit, but just that it's possible. And it's possible everywhere.
Right.
And does society and the culture want to crush our marriages and tempt our men and
Right.
tempt the women? And this is tough times. Really, it is very
Yeah.
tough times to be raising kids. It's tough times for men.
Right.
You know, boy, they don't even know what their role is anymore. In the
Right.
church, they do,
Yeah.
but in general, we've demasculized our men, and we've got a lot of issues in this culture. And it's the church, it's the home, it's us training up our kids in the word
Right.
that is the only hope, that is the
Right.
only foundation. What are some of the things that you think we need to be addressing a little bit more, maybe with our moms in our families? Marriage, church. What are some other things?
I think just the love of Jesus. You
Mm-hmm.
know, he brought as women, he brought us to his banqueting table. He actually brought us to the banqueting hall. He brought us in his house, and his banner over us is love.
His love, yeah.
And that just always ministers to me in such a deep way. And what that says to me is, you know, as moms, as women, as mothers, as wives, God wants us happy. He wants us to live a fulfilled life. He said he wants to give us the desires of our heart. And God wants women happy. He wants us to look over our life and say, you know, this is a great day, not just because we didn't fight or I was able to pay all my bills, but to really understand that Jesus died for our happiness, that God wants us to be happy women, joyful women, women that are at peace, that he died for our peace. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we're healed. So, you know, as I encourage women, I always encourage them that God wants you happy. He doesn't just want you saved and praying and, you know, fighting for things that you believe in, but he's interested in you. He loves you so much. You're the apple of his eye. If you're the only person in this world, he still would have sent Jesus to die for you. And he does that because he loves you, and he wants to have a relationship with you. And how cool is that? How precious is that?
That is, amen. I'm letting you just wash this right over me, because I'm like, thank you, Lord. He does. He gives us a spirit of joy.
Yes.
And you know, happiness is hard because it's kind of determining a little bit sometimes on the happenings around us. But that joy, that you know, it's hard to fathom not having the joy of the Lord, because there is a peace. And as the moms are listening today, and maybe they haven't been at church, maybe they've lost their way, like we do sometimes in different seasons of our life. Maybe, you know, they're trying to balance career with motherhood, or
Right.
their marriage is challenging right now, or the kids aren't listening, or whatever all those things are that we know we deal with on a regular basis.
Yeah.
We pray for them and just really do want to encourage them to get in a local church and
Right.
raise and pray and make that a priority in your home. What about some words of advice for moms that are listening right now? I know you're talking to the women in general, but just from mama to mama,
Yeah.
about some things that you would encourage and inspire, or just some words of advice that have always worked for you, Sharon.
Well, I think being a mama is really the dearest and the most precious job in this world. It trumps being a CEO. It trumps having a career. It trumps all of that. And when you realize that God has given you gifts, they're just gifts. That's why they leave, is because they're a gift that's with us just for a couple of years. And he's entrusted you as a mom to raise these kids and give these kids back to him. It's the whole reason why he created man in the first place, is because God wanted a family. And when we realize that God has entrusted us to raise his family so that they can get to know him and they could spend eternity with him, wow. It's the most precious thing in the world for mamas to be raising kids and to be giving them back to the Lord. And I would just encourage you that you are doing, when you raise children for the Lord, you're going to the heart of why God created man, to raise He wanted a family. He wanted a family of sons and daughters. And when you raise your children to know Christ, I mean, God is well pleased with you. And it's a lot bigger than the kids are jumping off the furniture or they got in trouble at school. I mean, those are little things. The big picture thing is that God wanted a family and he chose you to give you children to raise for him. And it really just puts everything in perspective. And we know when we have kids in college and that are, you know, moved on and getting married, all those little things, they don't mean that much.
Yeah.
Kids got a D on a paper. It's like at the end of the day, so what? The most important thing is that you're loving those kids on behalf of the Lord.
On behalf of the Lord.
Yeah.
It reminds me of my father used to always say to me, he would say, "You are on loan.
Wow.
I got the best loan I ever got here with you." But I have to, when I am before Jesus, my maker, I have to report that I have done everything that I can according to the faith and power and strength that God gave me to raise you. And I'd sit there like, yeah. And so I say that to my kids all the time. You're on loan. I mean, this is much bigger than you. This is much bigger than me.
Yes.
This is about when we get to heaven, I want to say, Lord, I did the best that I could with the gifts and the treasures that you put in my hands. I didn't do it perfect, but I look to you for all the strength and guidance. And it really does put it in perspective, knowing that these gifts are just on loan because heaven is our home.
Amen.
So thank you for that beautiful reminder.
Oh, I'm loving being on with you. You
all
are
right.
Wonderful. Yes.
Well, I really appreciate this time of encouragement. Yeah. I just wanted our moms to hear from you. And I love your spirit.
Oh.
And I think those are the things that, you know, when I look at you, I kind of just, we want to work on better. That spirit is contagious. You can feel it. You can feel that God is working through you. And as you and Pastor James travel all around the country, I mean, you're everywhere. You're carrying that with you. And then you bring your kids with. I think that's another thing you do. You really said that your kids could be a last thought here. Is the ministry, not all of our children may be in the ministry. My daughter does work with me and, you know, we bring our kids everywhere. They've been a part of every aspect of our lives, clearly, but you bring them with, you make them a part of, they serve at church. My kids served at church always.
Yeah.
And that's really where you train them up doing.
That's
not
right.
watching just.
Yeah. And I believe God has called me to take back America with this mindset. Then I'm not going to give up my nation to a mindset that does not put their full trust in the Lord. What you're doing, it's a wonderful work and you're making change. We're not going to leave this country the way we found it. God is going to help us.
Amen. Well, thank you, Pastor Sharon. Hugs to the family there. Thanks for joining us on the podcast. And so appreciate your wonderful words of wisdom, hope, and truth.
Thank you.
What a great interview with Pastor Sharon. I love her words. I really felt like she was talking to me a lot of that. So I hope you felt the same way. All right, moms, thank you for being a part of this program. And again, just last reminder here at the end of the show, for more information, check out Moms for America. All of our amazing programs, our resources, our webinars, our seminars, our brochures, everything we have for you to help support you on your journey through motherhood. You just go to momsforamerica.us. Again, sign up for our newsletter, fill out our forms. Someone from our team will contact you. We're here to help you. As we always say this too, from parental rights to public policy, from the kitchen table to Congress, Moms for America has it all. So please check us out. We're here to help you, encourage you, and inspire you. And as always, mamas, let's keep changing our country. You know it, one home at a time. Talk with you next week. God bless. A special thank you to our sponsors, the Herzog Foundation and Tuvu. The views and opinions expressed in this program are those of the speakers and do not necessarily reflect the views or positions of the Herzog Foundation.